Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Oracle's Readings by Omi Inca 7 and 5. You've got your Omi here live to serve you. I am your Empress here to serve you. I am your Advocate here to serve you. And I am your Maliwa. I am your Mother too. Welcome to the Oracle's Read. Once again, we are embarking upon another topic, And if you can read the benchmark, it reads rescheduling of our show. That show was missed earlier last week around 3:30, I think it was, on that particular day. And we are going to reinvent that show for you. And that show is entitled Teachers Bending One Knee, Call for the Money Women. That's what we're about to do. Call for the Money Women. It's time, teachers, that we should bend that one good knee that we have and go down on our knee and to represent who are being taken off this planet, who are being remissed and removed from amongst us. We've got to represent by raising our voices and calling for the Money Women. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we'd like to welcome you to the room. Our phone number here is 646-478-0270. Lock that number in, little G, and do call in. We'd like to hear from you today. We are going to be discussing this thing intelligently, not just talking around the subject or talking about the subject or slicing and dicing it like they've done with our videos with the Scott case. We're going to be talking about solutions. Say it with me, solutions for end. As you know, most of us are school teachers that call in this show, and we are not problematic, but we're proactive and looking for training and a plan. Do you not know whatever it is you want to do? You just can't jump up and do it without training. You just can't put on a blue uniform and a suit and say, here I is, I was ready to be a policeman. You've got to be in the position to go for training. Now, let's look at some statistics before we go any further. Me being a teacher and having to have so many continuing education hours, I'm going to get on that subject about the teachers, but let me give you a little statistics first of all. There's some statistics that you might not have. The training for the average policeman is only 600 hours, according to statistics. Compare that to a barber that you go to and get your hair shaved and your face shaved and all of the pedicures and manicures that they do. Over 1,500 hours they have to have. Do you hear me? That is more than half of what the policemen do not have. Is it because they don't have time, or is it because in the olden days they were trained on the job? Okay, all right, we'll buy that. Now, teachers, on the other hand, we have to have 16 weeks of student teaching. Then we have to take so many hours of tests, and we have to relocate from one school to the next school if we are elementary through middle school, or tons of hours. We never stop training. And every year we have to have continuing ed, 15 or 5 continuing hours every year after 5 years of service. Now, I want to just tap in to the police society. I don't know very much about that. I do have brothers that are in the police force. However, they have never talked about the extraneous training that they have to have. Now, I want to call out to the general population and audience and ask, what do you think needs to be done about training? Is that enough training for an average man in blue? Call in if you would like to talk about it, 646-478-270. Call in and talk to Omi about it. Now, let me give you some more statistics. We're going to be talking plans here today, not just talking about statistics, but plans of what we can do to change this excruciating problem that we have in the minority and, shall I say, African-American community. Let me give you some statistics about, according to the statistics, black men account for 2% of the population in the nation. 2%. When they account for only 2%, why is it that 700% of the black man's deaths are caused by policemen? Now, I didn't say black-on-black crime, even though we do get some statistics where they say job, forensic. We don't know who created this death because it is a black-on-black crime, and then they just close it as a black-on-black crime. We don't know who could be shooting those men, but we know it has been open season on the black man, and we want to know why. We want to know why. Inquiring mind. Is there some type of plan that we don't know about? Now, I know the Kerner plan is out there, which I don't have enough time to go over today, but it talks about a genocide, and it talks about a genociding, and just then we really need to look at what is really going on. Hold tight, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about it in a second. What is really going on? Now, we're talking solutions, like I said. 600 hours of training as a planning and curriculum specialist, I could come in and give additional training hours. For one, if you are a social service employee, you must be acquainted with humanity and how to handle social situations. So you must have some social work background, how to talk people out of a problem, to not use your weapon. I suggest that there be more training in the area of human relationships, how to familiarize people with understanding the need, the basic needs of people. When those avenues are followed, you will find that people that are on rooftops threatening to hang themselves will come down. People that have razors in their hands threatening to slit their wrists will lay the razors down. But you have to have the training to do this. And they're off the street and says, I'm here now. I'm ready to be your policeman, your man in blue. You must have training. And it appears to be a lack of training because there's so many issues where they're shooting, and in the mind of the beholder, they don't have a statistic or they don't have a training that is consistent for all. You've got so many people that are in different situations that are pulling their guns. Then why not reward those officers who don't have to pull their gun or the billy club, and let them wear stripes on their garment to show that they've elevated up to a higher level of communication where they don't even have to carry pistols, and they don't even have to carry billy clubs, but maybe just tasers. If you're trying to save a life rather than take a life, why do you need to carry the pistols anyway? The majority of the men are not packing, and even if you think they are, you have the upper hand because you have four or five policemen that come to your rescue. Now, I want to point out something that was said in an interview. When you're in a stakeout, I understand that you're supposed to follow through in that stakeout if you're going to serve someone with a summons. You're supposed to follow through or call your sergeant to allow that sergeant to take you off that case. You're not supposed to deviate from that case, I understand, and go and leave that case arrested while you go and create a whole new situation. Now, calling for backup is one thing, but when you call for backup, that allows you to lay your guns down so that you can deal with this person in an appropriate way to avoid from having to use your pistol. Now, why is it that we are seeing refugees come in this country who are doing so many things? I mean, doing so many things in our country, doing so many things to the point where they can come, money, get served money, to loan them money for their business, to start up business right in our community. Be treated like a family member and like a citizen while they plot and scheme to overtake America and to destroy America. We are betting and assisting a criminal right amongst us. But yet that criminal, when ready to turn arms against us, instead of taking the person or the spectacle out, we are preserving them, putting them on stretchers, taking them to our hospital, treating them like a gentleman in our country. When we treated our black men like they are the refugees and the outcast. Now, I don't know what most people think about the two cases, about the Scott case and what has become of the videos. I won't go into that because that is for the courtroom to decipher. But what I will say is we know how many deaths have occurred and how many black men have been laid on pavements. We know how many lies have been told and stories and consistent lies. But we don't hear in effect or that are being planned. So let the community help. We call for the Money Woman today. The teachers from all over the school, we call for you today so that we can put a plan together. We need to have a referendum and a platform to talk about a plan and solution. It's no more saying we're going to decipher this. It's time you bring a plan in. And if you don't bring a plan in, you're going to have communities that are going to rebel against officers because there's no sensitivity in coming in to protect the community but to harm them. As these officers get to be higher up in their profession, they can wear badges to indicate that they're solution solvers. If they don't have to come in with their guns, and they don't have to cock them because they're not going to wear them, and they don't have to come in with their billy club to beat someone because they're not going to beat anybody, they can come in with their tasers if things get out of order. But they're given brownie points for not having to use force or to kill anyone. That's what allows them to matriculate up the ladder and gain rank and seniority. The more we see of these policemen on the block, the more we're going to be able to walk up to them uninhibitedly, shaking their hands, becoming their friends, breaking bread with them, discussing things in the community that might be of interest to the policemen, and becoming so that the policemen become sensitive to the needs of their block. That's another thing. Stay on your block. Don't come out of this community. You don't know nobody in this community. You haven't trained with this community. Why are you over here in this community? They need to redistrict all these policemen and put them in their own district and make them familiar with their community so that they're not out of place pulling their gun or they don't realize that brain disorder who they have not orientated and trained with. That's another thing. You're going to have a lot of mental patients on the streets now that the hospital are letting them out. In your community, you must be familiar with them. No one has to tell you he's on medication, he has a head trauma, because some of the soldiers that come out have head trauma. Are you going to go up to them and say, you are endangering me? Most of those patients are on medication. You have to be trained how to deal with special needs people. And that is a big key now because you have more soldiers and vet communities that have these conditions, and they must be posted somewhere so that you can train with these people and get a better idea how to service them. And not only just them, they're minorities too, just like black people. But once you're trained in how to deal with people in your community, you stay in your own community. You don't come running to somebody else's community just because you're calling for backup. Backup should already be there. You're supposed to be a member of the community, a member of the tribe, and you're supposed to be a servant to that community, not someone that they're threatened by or fearful of. So therefore, we must keep people in their district and in their particular designated. Cannot. There will not be all four out against a black man who people feel threatened by. Every black man is not someone that's going to usurp their authority or pull a gun. You can't have fearful people out here claiming to be a policeman And because they're afraid of black men anyway, now you give them a gun, they're twice as fierce. And you can't use that as an excuse for killing someone who didn't do anything. Now, I'm going to say this. The women that are on this call or that are out there listening, I want you to step up your game and call for a plan. Don't just call for the video, okay? Call for a plan to be put together. Enough is enough. And if they need someone to assist and aid them in the plan, teachers, make yourself available. Write, implement, designate, and delegate. And show officers that they are the utmost teacher in the community. Create new jobs for teachers to come into the police department to help do this training that I am proposing. And once we get to the courtroom, let's not find out all the rules on the game that if your assailant is carrying a gun, then that is automatic acquittal for a policeman. It's almost like you know the game and the rules, and you're going to apply them. Because we've got too many cases where black men have been set up, pulled the reefer in the situation, and a gun. Then you got a scenario. We've got to get away from these very guns that we're talking about that's disrupting our nation. We've got to become wholesome people again where we can communicate on a higher level than animalistic, physical plane. Now, I'm calling you, teachers. I'm asking you to be the moaning woman today, to step up your game, to ask questions about your brothers and sisters, about your brothers and uncles and fathers who are being assassinated right before your eyes. Now, this televised show on CNN has been bringing a lot of information to the forefront that we can examine. But answer me this, please. What is the situation when they show up the videos? In the videos, they indicated that the policeman said, "Hand me my bag so I can stop the bleeding or I can suppress the wound," whichever one it was. But what was in that bag that he needed? And why did he have to have a bag when someone was face down? Now, I don't understand how he got face down when he fell on his back. And the other question is, what was the object that the officer reached in the back of his pocket and gave the other police officer? We've got to take a lesson and look at this videotape real close. Even though some of the words were blotted out and you couldn't hear, you couldn't even see the officer that shot him. Why wasn't he in the video? But you saw all of the other people standing there, and it looked almost as if somebody else shot him except him, because he wasn't even in the video. We got to get a group of people and study this videotape, but we are going to call for a plan, and that's what we're calling for today, a plan. How many of you know that officers should be trained and trained in detail about the human society and about communication and the technique of communicating? Not just when I get impatient and scared, I pull my pistol. There must be long suffering before the pistol is ever pulled. So we've got to come up with solutions of how to better govern our community and our courtrooms, because all of this is pointing to the fact that every black man is bad. And we know that's not true. We don't want to blame you for that. We know that that is not true. But you cannot pull your pistol every time you feel threatened. That's why the pistol must be taken away. And we must find another way. And rewarding those who find it less necessary to use their pistols, and find it more as an opportunity to communicate and talk their way out of having to shoot someone. Do you imagine what's going through the heads and minds of these people? that are having to take a life, when you take somebody else's life, their life goes down with it. Now, I can understand if there's a struggle and you're fighting for your life, but if there's no threat going on, your pistol should not be pulled. You should be talking out the side of your jaw, trying to convince that particular person to find a way of escape to walk away. That gentleman did. Scott did walk away that day. He backed up. He not only walked away, but he backed up. How did he get face down on his stomach? Why did he have to be shot? That is the question. And these families are not going to just take a payoff and walk away with the silver suit. More and more of the society is demanding that we come up with a better solution of how we're going to govern ourselves when we're managing others' behavior. You cannot be a better person if you're managing somebody's behavior with force while you're trying to convince them to be less forceful. And the yelling out of put your gun down is not a way, a tactic of trying to convince someone to be less forceful. That is just to cover you in the event that someone says you never gave any notice or you never asked them to do anything. I have a problem with all of this because I know that we could do better in the training aspect. I know that the United States government can demand that you go to training and continuing education hours, not just getting a policeman off the hook. You should be put right into training immediately because it's something that they missed. Now, if someone was firing at you and shot a bullet at you and you protect yourself, that's a different story. But when you're shooting and that person doesn't even pull his pistol or that person doesn't have a pistol, we've got to come out of these lies that we keep inventing. Now, teachers, once again, I'm calling you to the stage, and military women and men, I'm calling you to the stage. You uphold the United States in protecting us. I need you to come on board and talk to them about the training that the military has to have. I'm not saying that they have to take that tactic, but you don't need to take a military tactic with working with your community. It may be abruptly, it must be abrasive, and it may not be the right technique because you're not dealing with soldiers in a field that is pointing their guns at you. You're dealing with real community people that don't need to be shot down. So we've got to talk about what we're going to do. Just as we look at all of these people that are being investigated, and every one of those men that were there that day, I'm sure they're going to have a chance to tell their story. And we'll get a chance to hear from them, but they probably won't do that until they go to court. But in the meantime, I don't want any local news trying this case by saying that the court system will not indict because there was a gun there and because there was police presence. Now, the other thing is you got people confused when you say that Reaper is legal in one state but not in the other. Now you're going to see somebody holding Reaper. So I wish we would get these things together because you got the real public in an uproar trying to understand what is going to be. You find that these people are marching because they're sick and they're tired and they don't want you bringing a harassment on the people in their community, and they know if you do it to them, you do it to one of their children's next. And they're worried about it and they're concerned. And they cannot fight back if they don't have a voice. And the only way they have a voice is in marching and being disruptive. However, Black people, I want to say to you, the ones that are being disruptive, leave that alone and walk away from it. Unite yourselves, organize yourself, put a plan together, talk about what you want your policemen to patrol in your community, talk about how you want them to be a part of your community and be in that precinct so they get to know your people. Talk about the number of hours that you like to see them go to school and continue to get. Talk about how you taking all those new jobs that they're going to create in Illinois and going to the community to create those jobs and to train those people. If it's only 600 hours that you gave the general men in blue, then you could easily create jobs, Lord, in the state of Illinois, and create jobs where they can work with their own community and make a difference and stop the killing and stop pre-imprisoning people as if they're still enslaved. So we feel like the refugees are walking in here. We feel like you're handing them a bag of groceries, a debit card, and you're sending them to the bank to get a loan, and you're giving them all the privileges that we would get. They're the assailants that want to bring in a tax on this country, and yet you vetted them and taken care of them and then placed them in the hospital, but you don't kill them. You barely raise them and send them into our hospital for us to take taxpayers' dollars and pay for them, and they are the ones that are trying to kill us in our own country. But you kill the black man without thinking. Think about that. Are we refugees, or have we fallen lower than refugees? Think about it. Now, that means this calls for a plan. We do not want to be treated like refugees, and we do not want our black men to fall lower than a refugee. We want a plan put in place. I want to say that again. We want a plan put in place for the policemen to eventually dissolve of using their weapons or carrying them and using it that is more communicable with intelligent people that communicate with words and not with physical bouts. It appears that that what's happening, they're creating a physical bout and they're creating altercation when it's not necessary. If you take logical people and talk to them on a level that is intelligent, everyone will come away looking more and feeling better about their communication skills. But when you dissolve a communication skill and result in using a weapon, you say that the people are less than animals and you refuse to meet them on the level of communication that they can communicate with you. So something will have to be done, teachers. And soldiers of the military, I'm calling on you too. Come up with a plan. And the next time we meet on this airway, bring a plan together that we can talk about, that we can utilize. And teachers, bring your training skills. We like to offer so many free hours to the police force for training, because suddenly they need some humanitarian training. And not only with just guns, we're not training them to go to war. That's what has been called on our people, is war. And they want it to stop. That's why these people are marching in the streets. They want the war to be called off. Call a truce. No longer go into our communities with your weapons cocked and your billy clubs hanging out and your tasers ready to go to war. People want to talk about, and they are intelligent enough that they can talk. You do not have to treat them like second-class citizens. These refugees that are coming in that you keep running around after, and at the same time you're letting them in, knowing that they're bringing crime, well, you can no longer treat our black men like they are the ones that are bringing crime to this country. You have to go after those who have come here illegally and tell them they have to come in the proper way, and do not let them in and give them loans and checks to start businesses here in our country, when you study are beating down black men and preventing them from even driving in their cars or having access to employment. That is a difference, and everyone sees it, and that's why they're marching. And they won't stop until you do something and make a change so that we are not given the right to govern ourselves, to self-govern our behavior. And that has to happen. If it doesn't, then God will charge the shot, and he will come. And where tyranny is and where there's no peace, he will uproot tyranny. If he has to destroy the whole thing, he will. Then we will know from our shortcomings that we should have learned to get along and to communicate with every human being and not reduce them to the level of an animal by beating and abusing them and killing them. I'd like to thank you so much for joining me on this evening. You have been listening to Maddie Harvey's Big Sister. And Maddie Harvey, I can listen out to you because you are wondering what is really going on in our community. Why is there so much disruption in the police? and stop the rioting and the fighting will get worse. Kill the killings of black men out on the street in this. It's going to get worse. If things are apt to get better, that's because we have poor communication amongst us, and we're all treated as human. We were the first ones to give language to the world, African Americans and Africans. When we gave language to the world, we gave communication, sovereignty, understanding, reasoning. Where is our reasoning? Where is our understanding? Why can't we reason to the point of each man? Then why are we not able to put down our guns and our weapons and talk reasonably? Because there is a plan, ladies and gentlemen. There is a plan somewhere that we don't know about, that they were instructed to carry this devastating, murdering situation on. And I call it murdering because some people are walking away from it and not being charged. But today, families are putting their foot down, and they're going all the way in these courtrooms to see justice served, so that they're not going to have people walking away and making it a field day as usual to shoot innocent victims who should not have been shot. And I say to you, teachers, don't just sit around here and do anything. You're being called upon to say something, to use your voice to raise it like a moaning woman prays. Today is that every teacher and every soldier that has unction to raise up their voice and question the situation. I mean question it. Excuse me. Question the situation. Why is all this happening? And why is no one concerned about the number of fatalities that are being created in black families? Wiping the black man away will never do, and you can never kill enough of them. God is watching you. He can never take enough black men out through a plan. Man may plan, but God is the best of planners, and God's plan is the one that prevails. So we have got to get a plan and get on the side of God. Every one of you at the judiciary system will have to create a plan and show us you're working with us and show us you're trying to upgrade people and uplift people, but not bring them down the level of a pure human being, bringing them down to the level of a disgusting animal. To watch someone die on the ground is the sin, and it will come back to visit the households of those who have allowed it to happen. You just don't put a black man up to shoot another black man and say it's just another black crime. It's not. It's a society who has gone bad, and it must be corrected. And those who are doing irreproachable things must be called out, and the system must be overthrown. And it should be overthrown and changed for the better, just like everything must change. The birds in the air must change. The stars must change. Lives must change. Everything must change. Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. Everyone must change. No one, nothing stays the same. Everything must change. And no one, and no one can stay the same and do the same thing. As you may think, it is consistently a game, and this game will go on. The game must come to an end. And all of those who are perpetuating this game, I profess that they will start telling the truth and telling on themselves, and they will start coming out because their conscience won't allow them to hold these lies within their shooting. He will come forth and tell the truth about what really is going on. And that the female who pulled the gun will come out and tell the truth why she pulled the gun. And then we will come to the heart of this. And then those who thought they had a secret, their secret will be revealed. And they cannot go on perpetuating lies in the effort to say they're protecting, they're covering you, they're aiding you. Protection does not kill you. protection aids you. It lifts you up. It makes you a human being that can live and not die. Why must each one of these people die? If you were to try to stop this man, why didn't he shoot him in the leg or the hand? Why was he shot? That man did not point the gun. I don't know why he was fired upon. We're in a war, ladies and gentlemen. We're in a serious war. Teachers, we are in a war. We're in a war. And for those soldiers who fought overseas, who I had the opportunity of being with, you had real enemies there. I understand why you had to pull the gun. But when you come back home, you shouldn't have to pull or cock the gun. These are not your enemies. These are your neighbors. And these are the people you cover and protect and you aid and assist. So why must you kill? I say to you and your family, come to visit your household, just like it has been many since then. And some of those lieutenants have asked, confessed that their children were taken out too. Now, therefore, we have got to come together to produce a plan and training. And for those teachers who are available and who have the time, let's go and volunteer our time for these precincts and police departments to do the training that's necessary to make the change today. Make that change, Michael said. Make that change today. Not tomorrow, but today. People's children or their loved ones not to be shot. Moaning women, where are you, moaning women? Come forth, moaning women. Pray for society today. They will come together and develop a sense to understand that there is nothing greater than a human being. And there is only the one race, and that's the human race. And you all come to us. We are the human race. We brought everyone here through the loins of Jed Nish, a black woman who brought forth all liberty. Why don't we ask our family? And why don't we stop running this day? I'm going to wait until the end comes and see what the end brings. And it's going to bring forth the truth. You cannot hide a lie. And you cannot suppress a lie. It will. I thank you for listening. I trust that you will pray for our community. I trust that you pray for our preachers and our police department. I trust that you pray for black men so that they will know that God will send them a laborer in the heart, and he himself will part the very sky. It will not prevail. That plan that you have now will not prevail. It must be stopped. It will not prevail. And I say this because I decree it, and whatsoever thing you decree will come. I thank you for listening, and I call on those teachers to get out there, go in their precinct, offer your help. I call on those social workers. I call on those counselors to offer your time and service in helping to rebuild our true training department that will help police to produce and service the community well, not a half